Are you a filmmaker, makeup artist, a composer, or a scream queen? Then spread the word. Wreak Havoc is accepting film submissions for their third annual Horror Film Festival. Wreak Havoc is an international festival that accepts shorts, features, documentaries, music videos, animated, and VR films. Submissions are seen and selected by a judges panel to have the terrifying distinction to be shown during the festival. Please make submissions through Film Freeway. filmfreeway.com/festival/WreakHavocHorrorFilmFestival. June 30th is the regular submission deadline. However, we will give you one last bloody chance if your films are submitted no later than July 15th. The Wreak Havoc Horror Film Festival will be hosted by the historic Carolina Theater, downtown Greensboro, North Carolina, September 22nd and 23rd. Any further questions or screams can be submitted by email to wreakhavocproductions@gmail.com.
What up, folks? Get Out the Room is back. Get Out the Room, episode 84.
Oh.
Yeah. Get Out the Room, your horror and pop culture podcast. As always, I'm your host, Day, and I always got my man, Scott, with me. What's going on, Scott?
Not much. I'm ready to go. You know, I'm fired up for it being so late, so that's good.
Yeah, we're going to try and make this one a quick one, get in, get out. But yeah, so just to let you know, we are Get Out the Room, horror, pop culture. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Podomatic, Listenopoly. As always, the Wicked Radio Network, the home team. Yeah, basically anywhere good podcasts are found. So, I think we're just going to jump right into it. We have a pretty important, and I do want to kind of make this statement that it's an important win with yes. The arrival of Diana Themyscira, Wonder Woman. She's here.
Yep. And it was good. PC. It was good. It was good.
You want to set it up for us?
So, for those not in the know about Wonder Woman, she's from the island of Themyscira, and it's also known as Paradise Island. It's kind of a nickname for it. It's an island of Amazonian women that... it was set up from... They were put on this island by, after fighting Ares, I believe, to hide from the world of humans and men, particularly. And Diana, i.e. Wonder Woman, is raised on this island to be a warrior. At first against her mother's will, but then she kind of embraces the fact that Diana is going to be kind of the best. World War One pilot discovered the island by accident.
Hold on, you cut out for a second.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay. A World War One pilot finds the island, and she gets embroiled in World War One, and that's kind of how she comes to involve herself in the world of humans and on, you know, Earth proper, I guess. Not that Paradise Island is not on Earth, but she gets involved in that conflict and kind of steps into, you know, the real world, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, this is something that kind of shocked the hell out of me. I've never really been a big Wonder Woman fan, but ever since seeing her jump on screen on Batman vs. Superman...
She was usually the best part of that film.
Hands down the best part of that film. And... I got to be honest, I was super stoked to see this movie. I really was, because of that scene. I'm like, Wonder Woman? How is this? You know, I always thought she was okay in the comics, but how is it that this movie is the one that DC swings and hits a home run on? I mean, not to say, you know, it's not perfect, but it's far and away the best movie in the DC universe.
By far.
So far.
It's not even, like, it is just head and shoulders above everything else that DC's made so far. It is the most cohesive. It is the most fun. It is probably the most straightforward story that they have. Mm-hmm. And it's the most well executed. So yep.
And Gal Gadot does a good job.
Look, you know, I've kind of talked about this in the past. I have a really difficult time with Gal Gadot. You know, this, the whole IDF thing, and, you know, brown folks, it doesn't always sit well with me. So I kind of went in looking at this thing to be like, well, you know, I'm never going to forget that she's Gal Gadot. I'm never going to be, you know, immersed enough in this film to forget that there's Gal Gadot playing somebody. But lo and behold, you know, she actually carried the film incredibly well. And despite my hate, at certain points I forgot about it.
Sure.
And
I mean, she, you know, in addition to that, but, you know, like before all of that kind of came to pass, she, or maybe it was that before or after she was cast as Wonder Woman?
I know, that was long before. It has been pretty much forever.
Yeah, but I mean, like, before it really came to
pass. Well, it came out, I think, on, like, the very, kind of the first press tour that she did, you know, kind of after finding out that she was Wonder Woman.
Yeah, okay.
She's always been very vocal about being Israeli. She's always been very vocal about, you know, the part that she played and, you know, the way that she feels that whole situation should play out. And I think to a large extent, they have, I'm pretty sure they've toned her down and toned down her appearances in regard to that.
Yeah, it makes sense. Okay. But that, I mean, it came to, you know, like the forefront of the media, when Wonder Woman was, you know, I mean, when she was cast as Wonder Woman, that was like the big, because that was her big career bump there.
Yeah, I mean, she had kind of fledgling roles and
she was in the Fast and Furious movies, but
yeah, just, I mean,
she was like a supporting character.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But she carried
and I mean, when she was cast, the you know, a lot of comic book fans were thinking, you know, A, she's not necessarily a great actress, and B, she doesn't really have the look that Wonder Woman has in the comics.
Yeah, I mean, she's still very small. I'm not going to give that up. But, you know, she's still pretty thin.
Yeah.
Especially comparatively to the folks who might have grown up with, how can we say, a larger Wonder Woman.
Well, like, look, if they cast her as if she's supposed to be, look, we don't want to see China as Wonder Woman.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I completely understand.
So, but you know what? After seeing her in Batman vs. Superman and after seeing Wonder Woman, you know, she actually does a pretty good job. I mean, this version of Wonder Woman works really well in the movie. And
not just a good job, she did a great job.
Yeah. And
you know, she literally holds the screen down at all times, man.
Absolutely. And you know who else I think deserves credit? Chris Pine did a good job.
This is probably his best work.
I mean,
I like him more here than James C. Kirk.
Yeah, I think I agree. I've only seen the first Star Trek, so I'm not fully on the, you know, I mean, he was good in that movie, but I think this is the best thing I've seen him in.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen him in a lot, you know, in. So a lot of times when I used to see him, I was like, how does this dude get work? But I get it. There was this.
Well, he's a step above like the Sam Worthingtons and the Hayden Christensen. Well, he's a large step up for them.
I give you that.
But he's of that same ilk, but he's the more talented version of them.
I kind of put him in the Chris Evans role now at this point. A guy who's worked very hard at his craft to get better over the time that he's been.
Well, you know, just I've always had kind of a soft spot, though. I like Chris Evans in, what was that spoof movie? Not Another Teen Movie. That was one of those stupid movies that I kind of liked, and he was pretty funny in that, because his early roles were comedic, that, and even his Johnny Storm and the Fantastic, he was the best part of the Fantastic Four movie, in my opinion.
Yeah, sure.
But it's because he was comedic. He was the funny man, and he kind of stepped more into, as he became more dramatic, you know, like he was good in, what's that movie, Sunshine. You ever seen Sunshine?
Yeah, I did. I've seen.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of one of his first early divergence from being a funny guy. You know, he was maybe a little bit overly evil and asserted, like, he hadn't found the right notes yet.
Right.
He had also done a kind of an indie film called London with Jason Statham, and I want to say,
No. I know what you're talking about. Cellular.
No, there's another one. It's a movie named London.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's kind of an indie drama. It's like a dude trying to get over his ex-girlfriend, and his ex-girlfriend is like Jessica Biel, and they're at this party, and he's talking to Jason Statham, who's like the drug dude. Like, he brings all the drugs to the party or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's kind of sitting down and he's working through all the stuff that he's, you know, all this stuff that he's going through, and it's just not, he's just not getting there, and it's hard on him. And, yeah, it was in 2005.
Okay, here it is.
Yeah. I thought I was the only person that's ever seen this shit, and clearly I was, but, you know, this is one of his like early kind of.
I might say, is it good? You'd recommend it?
I don't know if it's good, but you know, it's a movie.
I mean, it does have Dane Cook in it.
Yeah, but don't let that catch you. This is
yeah.
You know, it's a 14% on Rotten Tomatoes, so take that for whatever you like.
Yeah. All right.
You know, the 6.6 out of 10 on IMDb is probably a little closer to what it is. It's not great flick. It's also not, you know, it's not that good of a flick. It's probably middle of the road.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I saw him in that, and I've seen his acting ability grow over the course of the years.
Right.
And I look at Chris Pine as someone being very similar to that.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, Pine, I feel like, has done even more in terms of kind of big budget and kind of outside of the
Snowpiercer. Snowpiercer was really good, though.
Yeah, Snowpiercer was good, but I also think the director for that was probably better, and it set that up really, really well for him.
That's true.
You know, and he also had a really talented cast. Snowpiercer, I can't give Evans all the credit on that, even though he did a really good job. I don't want to take anything away from him. But you know, there's a lot of...
I haven't seen a lot of his movies.
He's been in a lot of stuff. He's not as bad as people think he is.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, he was... Oh, okay, he did that Jack Ryan movie, that's right.
Nobody saw that.
No, yeah. But I'm trying to look at, you know, like, he was in the ones I've seen or even heard of. I still haven't even really seen him.
Yeah, Into the Woods, I'm sure.
Yeah, Into the Woods, and I know him as James Kirk from the new Star Trek.
Yeah.
I mean,
and This Means War. You know, he's opposite Tom, and you know, that's tough.
Yeah.
He's been in a lot of stuff. He's not always great, but he's not bad. And I feel like this is the best he's been. Yeah. I feel like the chemistry between he and Gal Gadot really resonated, and you know, almost every scene the two of them shared together.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Yep. And, you know, I mean, I, for as good as they were, you know, and as good as I enjoyed the movie, you know, like the set piece I really loved the best was when she first stepped foot on the battlefield and then kind of leading into the town where she was fighting the, soldiers.
The Germans?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that was the first time you actually hear the music.
And see, I really liked the theme too, quite a bit.
Yeah.
And that theme, and, you know, because it reminds me of her first appearance in the Batman v Superman, and it's kind of perfect for the character, and it's worked really well in her scenes when she starts kicking ass.
Yeah, I mean, when you hear those guitar chords coming,
yeah,
and she really gets going. You know, I also want to shout out Patty Jenkins as a director for this.
Oh, yeah.
Who, you know, Warner Brothers really fucked up and only gave a one picture deal to. So they're going to have to pay through the nose for the next one. Yep. You know, they said, you know, she's a woman who couldn't or hadn't directed big budget action and can't direct it. And so because of that, they, you know, they weren't willing to give her more of a chance. Well,
yep.
Not only did she do it 10 times better than really anybody that's done the DC Universe, I mean, she did it so well that not only was the action engaging and really cool, but it was shot in a way so that you could actually see what was happening. There were a couple times it was probably slowed down, maybe a little bit too much, like too many slow motion scenes. But
yeah.
Even at regular speed, you could see what was happening in the action shots. And when you get that type of, you know, shots, and you get the type of shooting, you get the type of direction, and you get an actress and actors who do it well and have worked on their craft, you get really well executed scenes, and I feel like that's exactly what we got here. So shout out to Patty Jenkins. I hope she gets paid because they gotta pay her for this shit.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean I think they're gonna hire for the sequel. I mean, they kinda have to.
I mean, if she's willing to do it.
I think she'll do it. I mean, it's been since Wonder Woman debuted really big. They've been, she's been in the talks for, you know, DC hasn't really pulled the trigger on their next batch of films yet. I mean, we're getting Aquaman next year and Justice League this year, but other than that,
yeah,
Nothing's in stone. So I think they're waiting to see what happens with Justice League, honestly.
Yeah, you know, they should. There's literally no reason to jump the gun just to try and, you know, fight the shared universe thing that,
yes,
Marvel already has.
Well, I think they want to make sure that, you know, they're not just a one-off place, because if Justice League gets critically harpooned again, I mean, I think that I'm not that they're going to stop completely, but they're going to have to rehash quite a bit.
I kind of think it is already, but hey,
you know. I think there's, you know, I know that they brought in Joss Whedon for a reason, you know, because of Zack Snyder's unfortunate situation with his daughter.
Yeah, but that's really sad. You know, whatever you think of his films, that's always sad.
Yep. And but Joss Whedon is, I mean, you know, I know that's a shitty situation, but Joss Whedon's a good look. So
yeah.
I mean, you almost can't get better. I mean, he did wonders for the Avengers, so
yep.
It's, you know, that bodes well. And apparently, he's gotten a lot of reshoots in order. So,
I mean, they have to.
Yeah.
You know, all these films were way too serious. You know, the kid they got playing the Flash, Ezra Miller, you got to use him. He should be funny in literally every scene.
Right.
You know, he's a kid that you have to use. And you have to utilize to break some of the tension, because Ben Affleck's Batman is so damn serious. He's not fun. He's not cool. And, you know, they have to find a way to do that. They have to find a way to lighten the mood. And, you know, obviously Arthur Curry, the, you know, Aquaman, he's not a fun guy. He's incredibly serious.
I think they're going to set him up as the Wolverine of the Justice League.
You know, I hear you, and I don't think you're wrong. I have an issue with doing that.
I agree. I'm well on board with you on this, but it looks and feels as though he's going to be the badass of the group.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, I'm not a big Aquaman fan, but I'm not necessarily against it either. I mean, Aquaman. Imagine if they had the pretty boy blonde guy with an orange,
right.
jumps on. That would be pretty weak.
Yep.
So, I give him credit for giving him the bearded, long hair look. I think that Aquaman in the comics worked decently well. I mean, he had a hard team hand, and he was kind of more badass in that sense. So I get it, but setting him up as a badass, it's. I mean, we're gonna get a movie of him, so for better or worse.
Yeah, no, we absolutely have to. So, but I just want the dialogue. I want the group dynamics to work.
Right.
You know, I want them becoming a team to make sense. I don't want them all their mothers to be named Martha and that to be the biggest thing that binds them. There has to be a reason. There has to be a need. And, if anybody can do it, Joss can do it. So. I'm behind him on that, but listening to the way he talked about doing the second Avengers film, he was like, shit almost killed me. I'm wondering to what point will he go with this before he's like, yeah, look, this is as far as I can go. Somebody else is going to take this shit across the finish line.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and, Avengers Age of Ultron was okay, but that movie wasn't. I mean, that movie wasn't great.
No. No, but at some point in this, the point that I made about Alien, the Ridley Scott's Alien kind of world, that at some point every scene that you shoot moving forward has the weight of every scene before it.
Right.
And I feel like Ultron definitely succumbed to that.
That's true.
Because you knew that there was a place you had to get to. Not necessarily anything in the middle, but you knew where you started, you knew where you had to get to by the end. You knew there had to be something that caused a splinter in a group. But, so who knows what this is going to look like for the Justice League. Because, in theory, this is the easier film to create. Bringing them all together, finding some, uniting common threat, and making it work.
Right. Yeah.
But back to the good old Wonder Woman. One of the things I really enjoyed was the group of people that they put around Gal Gadot.
Mm-hmm.
The Chris Pines.
Robin Wright.
Yes, yes. Connie Nielsen and Robin Wright were fantastic on Themyscira.
Yep.
But Lucy Davis as Etta. Chris Pine's secretary.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, she stole every single scene.
Yeah, she was good.
She's a British actress, and she's actually not that big. Like, they fluffed her up a little bit. But she's just fantastic. In every single scene, she was great.
Yep.
I enjoyed watching her work.
Yep. Now, I will say this. So, I enjoyed Wonder Woman. I would even say I think it's the best DC film since The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
And you might hear that and the knee-jerk reaction for a lot of people might be, damn, that's some high praise. Now keep in mind, The Dark Knight Rises is not great.
Yeah.
And I did like Man of Steel, but yeah. I do think Wonder Woman is better.
It is. It has a point. Man of Steel didn't really have a point.
Yeah, and Gal Gadot, I think, does a better job portraying the character than Henry Cavill did. And that's not to say Henry Cavill did a bad job.
I agree.
Just think Gal Gadot she just did a better job.
Yeah, she's better.
The one thing this movie does suffer from, which unfortunately a lot of comic book films do nowadays, even the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the villain wasn't really great.
Yeah. You're not there for the villain.
And I gotta be honest, it's not that this movie is the straw that broke the camel's back, but it's becoming a glaring problem for these movies to have villains that just really, you end up getting a crap beat out of them, and then they just go away.
Yeah.
And I don't know. And look, David Thewlis, I think that's how you say it. He's a fine actor. I don't really buy him as the badass villain.
Yeah, David Thewlis. If anyone's familiar with the current season of Fargo, he's a really interesting bad guy, and I feel like he was chosen off of that. But this is not one that fits him. If anything, Danny Houston probably would have been a better choice for that role. But, you know, either way, I agree with you. The villain let you down. And I get it, because in general, for a lot of these films, you're there to see the hero. You don't really give a shit who they fight.
That's true. And that's, yes, that's true. I mean, it is her movie, so.
You know. We're here to see the birth of Wonder Woman. Everything else is secondary.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's a good point. I guess what I'm saying is it's becoming the trend that is becoming, you know, and like I said about the Marvel movies, I mean, they're not completely away from this issue here. I mean, most of their villains really are just the one-off guys that are just from a deck of cards. You throw them at the movie and then they're done.
Yep. And,
I mean, even we were just talking Age of Ultron. Ultron, for being as powerful and as cool as he is in the comics, he was that way in the movie. For as much as I like Guardians of the Galaxy 2, I think Ego was one of the better, you know, villainous characters. But even he was kind of suffered a little bit from that as well.
One of the things I'll say about Ego, and I think this is something that always plays into a quality villain, is the ability to create a villain that's ambiguous in terms of maybe they're not particularly all bad.
Yeah.
You know, they may be the antagonist to our protagonist, but if you look at things in a particular light, you could actually see what they're doing. And you could see why they are who they are.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, so for in Ego's case, anyway, like I could see that. Like, I get it. For the most part, though, most of them, they're just like, they're the bad guy. They kind of fucking suck. You know, Ra's al Ghul in Batman Begins. You just want to see the world burn. Okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. It's a little tough. But here, the villain is just a mechanism to show the growth and Diana becoming, you know, the weapon to protect the world.
Right.
You know, before we move too much further, I did want to shout out the band of traveling gunmen that, that they roll with. Their little group, man, was absolutely fantastic. Ewan Brenmer, Saeed Takmahul, what's my man, Eugene Brave Rock as a chief.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Like, that group was fantastic, man.
Yeah, they were good, too. Yep.
And I really enjoyed their whole thing. Like, everything that they had in terms of chemistry. You felt like this was a group of guys who had been working together for a really long time, and they were all different but great. And, you know, I enjoyed it.
I agree. They were one of those. It was a shocking. I guess not shocking, but it was pleasantly surprising that they were as enjoyable as they were. It was. I think that whole little party and then kind of working to help Steve Trevor and Wonder Woman were, it was great.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Elena Anaya as Dr. Moreau, I thought that was very cool. Dr. Poison, thought that was very cool.
Yep, she had that Phantom of the Opera vibe going on.
Yeah, she was She was perfect in the way she did it.
Yep. And Danny Houston is, and he was okay. I mean, he's kind of falls into that villainous issue that I have as well. But, you know, he kind of has the look and the face for just being a villain.
Well, he's good at it.
Yeah, he is good at it.
You know, he's never not going to be the villain, you know, from some of the other things that you've seen him in. So whenever you see him on screen, you already know what he's about to do, and that's cool. But yeah, overall, what were your overall feelings leaving the theater?
I felt a little bit of hope for DC, to be honest with you. I this is definitely a step in the right direction. You know, we've gone on and, you know, you can read online for what everybody thinks about Batman vs. Superman and Suicide Squad. When I think back on those movies, I like to think of the things I enjoyed more than the things I didn't. This one with Wonder Woman, I left not having to do that. I just enjoyed the movie for what it was, and I was highly entertained by it. I have my issues with it, and I don't want to go completely spoilers with it.
I think we've done a good job of staying away from spoilers this time.
Yeah, I think so. Like I said, I can nitpick things, I guess, and maybe that they're not nitpicks. I don't know, but I left with a glimmer of hope. I was pleasantly surprised enough to say, you know what, I'm anticipating Justice League more than I was before. So, yeah. Yep. I mean, because at least we're getting Gal Gadot, and what I'm assuming is one of the top roles in the film.
Gotta be at this point.
Right, and if they're not, then Joss Whedon better get on that. And
Joss has never been too. I mean, so he did Buffy, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so he can bring some good levity to a female heroine.
Well, he's known for that too. Yeah. So
his female dialogue is probably gonna be pretty good. So I got a belief in him in that one, in that sense.
So I left feeling a lot better about the DC's film universe than I did, you know, last year. And that's good. I mean, they needed this. This is a good win for them. And I'll tell you another thing I like. It made me happy that now we have a movie like this that perhaps fathers can take, or and mothers can take their daughters to go see a superhero comic book movie and show them that, hey, women can do this too. And I think it definitely can stand up next to the other really good comic book movies that are out there. So
yeah, I think
what about you?
I'm with you on that one, man. Number one, I thought this was a much needed win for DC. Number two, I think for little girls to have an icon that is not shitty, that doesn't get watered down and kind of thrown into a male identity of what a hero is, to just watch a hero have her own film and to do it really well.
Yeah.
It's really nice. I think it's necessary. You know, the inclusion on the screen is not just race and color and creed, but also, you know, gender and sex and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I say all that shit now, and I also say when Black Panther come out, that shit better be good than a motherfucker.
hey, that trailer looked tight, though, didn't it?
Trailer looks incredible.
Whoa.
I don't even want to go too far into that because we're still talking Wonder Woman. Because I'll talk about that shit for 15 minutes.
Let's jump into that after this. But wait, what would you give Wonder Woman score-wise?
So we gave, and I'm kind of thinking about films that we've given in the past. Like Prometheus was a 7.
Yep.
I think I enjoyed this more than Prometheus, so I think I'll probably give this a 7.5.
Oh, okay. I was actually thinking
maybe 8.
Yeah, I was gonna say I was gonna say 8. I think I would go 8. I might even go as high as 8.25. I liked I liked it enough to, yeah, I like it enough to give it an 8 at least.
Yeah, it's an 8. You're right. Yeah. At least an 8.
It's just, you know, the other two comic book movies that came out, the big ones, Logan and Guardians, are both better movies.
Yep.
But this one is also a very good one. I mean, it's nice to have three in a row from different studios, even. I mean, these are all from different universes. They're all from different studios, and they were all really good.
They all work for different reasons, too, though.
Correct. Absolutely. And it left me with a good taste in my mouth walking into Justice League. So,
yeah. I'm disappointed there was no post-credit scene, though.
Well, I you know what? I thought about that at first, and then, you know, if they want to distance themselves by being a little different than Marvel, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I get it, but the post-credit scene started the connected universe for Marvel. It had almost nothing to do with the movies themselves. The original first couple of movies themselves were all about that particular character. And then the post-credit scenes would link them to the universe. So, you know, as your first real win, this was a great opportunity to link it to...
Well, with the way they framed the movie, though, I mean, they framed it as a flashback.
Yeah.
So I think that worked to its advantage. I mean, we got enough to know that the connectedness. I mean, she's speaking to Bruce Wayne through letters and whatnot. So, I mean, that's pretty. I was satisfied with that.
That's the tie-in. I agree.
Yeah.
But the final scene of the movie, you know, give me a glimpse. Give me a 5-second shot of somebody. But
sure. Well, I mean, thank God they didn't go the direction of introducing characters in the email.
Oh yeah, right. Who wants to make that mistake? Right. So you're gonna go 8.25. I'll probably go 8. And it's not to hate on the film. It's probably just my personal things. But
No. I think that's completely fair. I mean, like I said, it's not. The things that kept it down, you know, down. I mean, hell, 8's a good damn good score. But
it is.
It's just, you know, it's the villain thing. I mean, I would give 8s a lot to a lot of comic book movies simply because the villains are, you know, I mean, we when we get a good villain, like Heath Ledger Joker or Loki is a good villain.
Yeah, sure.
You know, you get spoiled. Winter Soldier was a good villain in the Winter Soldier.
So that goes back to my earlier point.
Well, in that movie, he was a villain. I know he's hero.
Until the end. For the majority of the film, he was, yeah.
But
that final scene changes everything before it.
Well, and so does Civil War. So.
Well, Civil War almost absolves him of all the wrongdoing.
Correct.
But at least at the very end of the Winter Soldier, you at least, there's a little ambiguity to what happened. Yeah. And sometimes that's all you need. You know what I mean? But like looking at some of these X-Men films, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if there's a single one of those films that's more than a 7.5 for me.
I see now. I mean, you know how I feel about the X-Men films, so. I villain-wise, you know, Magneto is a pretty good villain.
He's a great villain. But the way they use Mystique is shitty.
I don't disagree with that.
She's damn near the single most important character in the entire X universe.
William Stryker was a good villain in the second film.
He was. William Stryker
not necessarily in Origins. I mean, he was okay, I guess, in Origins as a villain.
Right.
Sebastian Shaw was good in First Class.
Yeah. But look at the actor.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
I mean, that's that bacon, bruh. That bacon. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, like that's a great actor who absolutely dove into the character.
Yeah.
He breathed life into it. You know, because some of the lines didn't have a whole lot of shit to do. But, you know, they let Kevin go in there and start chewing up a little scenery. You know, the X-Men movies are so based on cast. They're not based on writing and much else.
I mean, you're not. I get it, and we could go into detail about the X-Men movies, but we don't need to be doing that shit.
Not right now. I mean, we'll have something else to talk shit about soon. Since Dark Phoenix just came out.
We need to talk about that Black Panther trailer, though.
There's part of me that doesn't really want to, man. Like, I'm so excited for it. But I don't want to build it up too much. Like,
I'll tell you this, man. I've gotten into over the past year. I watch YouTube at work or have it on the background while I'm doing stuff. And I watch so much YouTube sometimes, I've gotten into reaction videos.
Yeah.
And the reaction videos for the Black Panther trailer was, honestly, it got me, it teared me up sometimes seeing the excitement, and especially in Black YouTube channels were had the reaction videos all over, and everybody's so fucking pumped for it. And I'm like, this is unbelievable. I don't think, like the Thor Ragnarok trailer was cool, but this one is cool, and it hit that, like, Black Panther is a character that people have been clamoring for years. Maybe a decade or more. Yeah. I mean, ever since Wesley Snipes hinted about it well before he played Blade, people were like, yes, let's do this. And Black Panther is such a cool character.
Yeah. There's a lot of weight that comes along with making this character, though, man.
Oh, I know.
Especially now with the cast and like the first looks, it's this shit is so much more than a movie at this point. It's taken on, and I hate to put this amount of weight on a film, but it just feels like it's carrying the weight of an entire demographic of people.
It is.
And it's incredibly unfair to Coogler. It's incredibly unfair to everybody who's in the film, but it's just the way it is. And when I say demographic, I don't just mean Black folks, because there are people like Carl who absolutely love the character and can't wait to see this succeed.
Like
yourself. It's not just Black folks, but people who are genuinely excited about this character and have been excited about this character for a very long time. Marvel's version of Batman. People want to see this play out.
Yeah.
And
we got to props to them putting this cast together, too. I got to be honest with you. It's among the best cast I've in recent memory.
I've ever seen. Yeah.
I mean, wow.
Yeah, like, I have no clue how they managed to get all of these.
Why? Because remember when Star Wars was being made, and you ask somebody to be in Star Wars, everybody's like, yeah, I want to be in Star Wars. You ask a African-American actor to be in Black Panther, I'm sure it's the same thing. Like, yep, I'll do it. Yep, don't even, yep, I'll do it. Don't even ask me anything else. Like, yep, I'm in.
Yep, don't care what the money is, I'll be there. Right. Tell me, like, I'll pay for my own flight, but I'm in this.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
I mean, so I told you I learned.
What did you say? I lost you for a second.
I was watching some of those reaction videos. You know what people seem to be most excited about in the trailer?
What's that?
Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah.
That's cool. I like Michael B. Jordan. I didn't know he hit like that.
I mean, he's been carrying a lot of weight, man. Between
Creed was really good, and that's the movie that I knew him before that, but that's a movie that really like put him on the map for me. Like, damn,
okay,
he's good.
For a lot of Black folks, Fruitvale was probably the one that did it for a lot of Black folks.
He's being matched again with once again with Coogler, so that's helped. And I think this is film number 3 with the two of them. So, that's a big deal. And they've built a good rapport. So,
I mean, between Chadwick Boseman, who has inhabited the character, so even in the limited amount that we've seen him, like, that's the Black Panther. That's what he's supposed to move like. That's how he's supposed to, you know, fight. That's the way his suit's supposed to look like. They got it all right.
Oh, yeah. And he's got that good come at me, bro, you know, swagger about him. That,
oh, absolutely.
And that's cool.
You don't want it. The only thing on the other side of this is these hands, and you don't want them.
Right. Man. You know, it's exciting. Because I tell you what, I remember, you know, Black Panther was always that dude. Like, you know, you read an Avengers comic, and, you know, most of the time you're there to see the big characters like Captain America and Iron Man, Thor, and Hulk. But whenever you had Black Panther, and this dude comes in just simply wearing just the old classic Black Panther look is so awesome. It's just a dude wearing all black, an all black suit. That's all you see except his eyes. And he's got the kind of the Batman cowl mask on at the top, and he just comes in and he whoops ass.
Yeah, before he got all the technology in the suit.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, the classic suit is that's among maybe my favorite comic book costumes, period. I mean, that's
the one where he handed Captain America's ass in.
Oh, my gosh. And the ultimate version of Black Panther, he actually has on each of his knuckles, he's got a little Wolverine claw, just like an inch long, and he could pop them out of the back of his hand. So in addition to his claws on his fingertip, he's got these blades that pop out of his
You're going out again, sorry.
He's got these blades that pop out of his knuckles when he kind of can pop them like Wolverine, but they're just like 1 inch long little blades that pop out of his knuckles.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I wonder if they'll integrate any of that. You know, I'd like to see it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming he had the claws, I think, in Civil War. So.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, they grew, like the claws themselves grew.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So I'm pumped for it, dude. I have very high hopes for it.
I mean, you should.
Yeah.
You should. Really quick before we finish this out. Shout out to Wonder Woman for completely blowing away all types of records for female-led movies. Has now closed, 450?
Yep.
Worldwide. 454 worldwide. You know, heading into this weekend, which has Cars coming, Cars 3, still number one movie. So, yep. Shout out to them. You know, shout out to everybody involved. You know, hats off to you ladies and everyone involved. This is a great film. Hopefully you can do it again.
Absolutely.
Now we're going to jump into a little bit of horror.
Yeah.
I know.
You're setting this one up. You're the one that told me about this movie.
So, yeah, this is, and this is the easiest way for me to put this is, it's a movie called The Eyes of My Mother, and it is a story of a very lonely young woman who lives a very solitary life on this farm. And the entire film is shot in black and white. It's muted, but there are just absolute moments of brutality.
Yep.
that happens so effing quickly, and they.
Oh, and it's what you don't. And this is the perfect example of what you don't see is what's really really fucked up.
Yeah.
I mean, the first movie I thought of when watching this was very very similar to Audition.
Yeah, I mean it definitely hits you a little faster than Audition does, but yes.
It does. It does hit you faster than that. Absolutely, it does. But, you know, the creepiness, it damn near starts immediately when you come inside the house and there's a fucking owl head on the face.
Yeah.
I mean, so out of context, it sounds particular. The setup is that the mother is a surgeon who kind of... I guess she practices on cows to kind of perfect her craft with her daughter.
Yeah, and she kind of teaches her daughter about different types of surgery and different types of technique.
Right.
you know, it's on Netflix. It's free right now, so I don't want to ruin it. I don't want to spoil it.
Yeah, we don't want to spoil it. I tell you this, the initial setup of this, so I actually watched this earlier this evening, and my wife, who is not a horror fan, was in there. We were talking, and you know, she's like, I don't know what movie you're watching, and at first it's fine, and she kind of, she sees the couch sitting there, and she goes, oh, okay, yeah, I know what you're watching. And if that's not the part that creeped her out, the part that creeped her out was the guy, the man at the door.
Yeah.
She goes, oh, this isn't going to end well. And I knew immediately. I didn't even say anything. I just knew all on that. Like, yep, this isn't going to end well. And she just goes, she gets up and walks out of the room. She goes, don't tell me anything else about this movie. Don't bring it up again. Like, fair enough.
Yeah, I kind of agree with her on that. Yeah. Make sure you're close to the mic, by the way.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, it's one of those films where if you start to rely on your instincts, they will be correct. But that's about as much as I'm going to give you. It's a, I think it's a really well-made film. The lead actress, Kika Magahals, she carries this entire film.
She's good. She's very good at it.
She carries this thing. And even as crazy as it is, and it's just strange, and she carries it, and I enjoyed a lot of this film.
Now, I will say that it's a one-watch movie, though.
Yeah, I don't think it has a ton of rewatch.
No.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
I mean, it's one that I'll be thinking about this for a while simply because of just how...
I don't know. I may rewatch it, though. Mm. It's going to be difficult. It's not an easy rewatch, but I think I may rewatch it.
Huh. Well, to each their own.
I mean, this isn't a Serbian film or anything like that, but
well, yeah.
It's definitely not an easy watch either.
Yeah, no, it's not. But it's, you know, it's of the ilk of, you know, like, you know, we really like The Witch. Last year, the year before, whenever that came out. And, The Witch was really good, but that's not a movie that I would really want to go back and watch again.
Yeah. It's not as good the second time, but it's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, what would you give this score-wise?
I would probably go, a 7.
Yeah, 7.25 for me. I liked it. Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it. I'm going 7. I just, it's not very rewatchable, so.
Yeah, I got it.
But it's gonna stick with you. I mean, again, it's not even that it's terribly gory. It's what you don't see that really gets you.
What'd you say?
It's what's implied.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's kind of horrific. I mean, they give you hints throughout of things that are going on, and I mean, the implications are. I mean, it's not. It's kind of a heady movie in that you're watching someone who is suffering from something that is just so horrific. That's the horror of the movie, and the more you think about it, the more. Even right now, talking about it is, you know, it's creepy as hell.
Yeah. So one of the things that I'll also say really quick before we get out of here on this one is it's kind of broken down into three kind of smaller vignette areas, and each aspect of them is different, but. Also very important, and you kind of see where it's going by the time the third one comes around.
Right.
It doesn't make it any easier to watch.
No.
But you get it. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, you see it and you understand it.
Yep.
Yeah, but it's not an easy watch, and you know, I definitely don't watch this one with somebody who doesn't like horror, because they're going to be really fucking pissed off at you afterwards.
This is you show this to a horror fan. That's what you do with here.
Yeah, this is for you and the homies. Everybody else, you gotta roll out on this one.
Yeah.
But yeah, would you recommend it to somebody who's a horror fan?
Yeah, I'd recommend it. Yep. I mean, yeah. You know, my recommendations, if I would say, yeah, I liked it, I would recommend it almost all the time. I mean, I've made recommendations like that to people, and then they'll look at me and go, damn, that movie was real fucked up. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm checking you off this list then. No more recommendations for you.
Yeah. Like, if you're not liking this one, I don't know what to tell you.
Right.
Yeah, so this is a little different. I would definitely recommend it to somebody that I knew who liked horror.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's the caveat to all of this. You have to like horror.
Right. And you had mentioned the black and white before. I want to also say that right there plays to this movie perfectly.
Yep.
It's absolutely perfect in black and white. It did not need to be in color at all.
I think it would probably lose something if it were in color.
Agreed. So, it would look too, it's almost like it would be too polished, I guess. I don't know how to describe it. It needed to be a little gritty in order to hit home a little harder.
Well, it wouldn't feel as remote. It wouldn't feel as lonely.
That's true. That is true.
You know, the colors would warm it up somehow.
Right.
And this is not a warm film, so I like what they did here. So I'm a big fan of this one. Yep. Would definitely recommend it. So, all right. Eyes of My Mother, Netflix. Check it out. Give it a whirl, people.
Yep.
Anything else before we get out of here, man?
Not really. I mean,
it's great. Short show.
It was a short show. That's good. That's good for us and for the listeners.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's great for you guys. Yeah, man. But thanks, man. Thanks for being here. I appreciate it. Maybe we'll get another show in another 2 weeks.
Oh man, that's
hey.
That's good. Hey, wait. When was 83? Was that 2 weeks ago?
83, about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Ah.
Especially, you know, me basically doing this shit in between events. I got an event this coming week, so, you know, you guys are lucky.
Oh, there we go.
See how much I love y'all?
Oh. Thank you, Damon.
Hey, man. Thank you, Scott.
That's nice. Appreciate it.
Bro, I couldn't do it without you.
Hey, yep, likewise.
Yeah, man. So, to everybody who listens, we appreciate you guys. Check us out. iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Podomatic, Wicked Radio Network. You can find me at DAE021. You can find the Get Out the Room at Get Out the Room. Scott,
you can find
they
me
can,
once every
they,
2 years at Fiend and Pirate. I honestly have no idea what my last movie was.
Yeah, we don't know what that is, but it's
it
okay.
Might be a movie. It might be a Get Out the Room. That's what I would get.
Yeah, we're just gonna let that ride. But other than that, we'll catch y'all next time, man. We appreciate y'all. Peace.
Peace.